Today on Real Radio.
When a woman can grab Jesus by the hem of his garment and say that if I just can touch the hem of his garment, which was a pagan practice in those days, I'll just be made well. She reached out in her pagan faith and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus, his virtue, healed her.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the equality that is now between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. The author had what is often referred to as an eternal perspective. Today's presentation focuses on verses 11 through 13 and is called God's Eternal Purposes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says, I'm a jealous God. I share my glory with nobody. So he looks around and he says, well, if I'm not going to share my glory with anybody, who can I use? And the answer to that is, in the Greek, it's geeks. We have a word a lot like it in the English. You say, well, Billy Graham's something. God has made Billy Graham. But if you ask Billy Graham if he's something, Billy Graham thinks he's nothing. God thinks he's something. You might think he's something. Ask Ruth Graham. Ask Billy Graham. I don't understand it. But God just uses us. He wants to use us. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, I love this verse, these couple of verses. They're a lot of fun. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here it comes. But we have this treasure, that is the gospel truth, the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's this. This flesh. And Paul says, we have this in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We're just clay. Isn't it interesting we're made out of the same elements of the earth? We're pots. We're saucers. We're vases. Or you might think, you may be a vase, Jack. I'm a vase. I'm probably an ashtray or a something porcelain, but we're all clay, man. And God has chosen. For his purpose, to use the gospel, promote the gospel, shine the gospel through us. It's an amazing truth, don't understand it. Second thing we need to look at tonight, verse 12. And this has got some beautiful, encouraging things for us. Verse 12 says, in whom, that is Jesus, we have, circle it, boldness and circle it. Access with, circle this, confidence through, and you can circle faith in him. Four things that's essential that we understand. So the second point here in verse 12 is that the eternal purpose that God has for us is that he has provided for us. That's his purpose, to have provided for us all that is needed. God does not, I don't know what you're thinking right now about who you are or who you're with or whatever, but God does not tolerate you or your Christian friend. God does not tolerate you. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you know, there's Jim Beauvais. Sheesh. Oh, wait, right there's John Miller right next to him. Oh, man. There's Jeff McDonald. How am I ever going to get these guys? Oh, boy. doesn't do that. God does not tolerate us. God has accepted us and is accepting us now. We so often go, oh God, God, I promised you and I really let you down. You didn't let him down. You think when he said, God, I'll never sin again. I love you so much, I'm never going to sin, God. You think God goes, oh man, wow, finally somebody's after my own heart. He's never going to sin. Michael, Gabriel, did you hear that? Why can't you be like him? He's a right-on guy. And then you blow it. Oh, God, I promised you. You think he goes, oh, no. You think he does. You feel like he does. You know, the moment you made that promise, you think God's up there, you know, biting on his nails. Oh, I hope he doesn't slip up. No way. He knows what's coming. Don't ever make God a promise. You can't fulfill it. The scripture says, don't make a vow. You have no power to perform it. When you blow it, he doesn't panic and you disappoint him. He knows. He knows that. He doesn't tolerate us. He's excited about us. Listen to this. Concerning boldness here in verse 12. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us courage. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us a courage. It's the kind of boldness we're talking about here. The word in the Greek means this, a free outspokenness, a fearless speech. The word means to have a cheerful assurance, a bluntness. Isn't that interesting? That's what that word means in the original language. Fearless speech. The kind of boldness that children have. You ever see a little child? Some of you, many of you work with little children in daycare and Christian schools and public schools. They're so cute, the little ones. The little ones are cute. And you say, wow, whose picture's that? It's mine. What is that? It's my mommy. And they just have such authority. Isn't it pretty? Isn't she pretty? Isn't this nice? And they're just like, wow, they're so sure. This is the kind of boldness that it's talking about. They have absolute boldness. Whose car is that? Mine. They're just sure. And that's how God wants us to be concerning our relationship to him. To have a boldness of free speech. I'll never forget this little guy, Matthew. I taught the five-year-olds at Calvary Costa Mesa for 3 years. It was a blast. And this little guy, Matthew, showed up every Sunday with a bow tie. First Sunday I had that kid, I said, what does your dad do? He's all decked out in super-duper clothes. What does your dad do anyway? This kid's like wearing a tuxedo to Sunday school. And I remember in the class, 35 kids, you're packed in there. And man, I had this shiner on my nose. I mean, I had this thing, it was like Mount Rushmore, just kind of, and it was hurting. And I'm standing there, and I go, okay, kids, open up your Bible. Excuse me. What is it? I want to ask you a question. Not now. Now, turn, open your Bibles. He's got his hand up there. What is it? What's that thing on your nose? I couldn't believe it. I said, just shut up, kid. You're bothering me. I said, you'll know soon enough. Just wide open. That's the boldness. That's the kind of boldness. We are to have that kind of boldness. Now, we're laughing and we're playing, and that's exactly, are you ready for this? It's exactly how God wants you to enter into his presence. Hi, God, I'm here. You're not supposed to tiptoe anymore. That's the awesome news about what Paul was writing. The Old Testament had a covenant and had a practice where the priest went in once a year trembling with fear. That was the Old Testament approach to God. And Jesus has come so that we can walk in and jump in his lap reverently to have that boldness. Isn't that amazing? You think I'm kidding? Jot this down, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. It's a boldness that abounds, that's bounding, running in to the presence of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, what a verse. That's Hebrews 4:16. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And how are you supposed to come? Jesus says, I'm the door. He says, knock, and I'll open up to you. He wants you to come in. There's a boldness about it. Brother, if you come through that door that Jesus is, you will have an opening so grand and so wonderful, you won't be able to contain it all. It'd be so wonderful in your mind. A boldness, a free outspokenness with the Lord. Wow. In whom we have boldness. This coming in. Watch this. Look what it leads to. Second thing under this point is access. And it's an access for communion, fellowship. This word access means immediate access, right now, unrestrained freedom to enter, immediate admission. No longer any need, listen carefully, of a mediator. That's what's implied here. You can come to God now without any need of having to go through a ritualistic practice or a confession to a priest or to a pastor. And if that offends you, then you need to read 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, For there is one God and one mediator, go between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Not me, not the priest, not Father so-and-so, not John Paul or Billy Graham. That is blasphemous to God now. You go to Jesus Christ directly. You go right to the Father through Jesus Christ directly. Someone in our body just lost their father. And him and I were talking for a moment, and it's not known if he knew the Lord or not. Had a sudden heart attack, from what I understand. But we don't know. And you know, you don't know. That person, one moment could have been, now I don't know if you can handle this. I personally love this. That person in one breath could have been a non-Christian and then grabs his chest. And before he hits the ground, all he has to do, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, is call out trusting on the name of Jesus. And he grabs his heart and he's going down. And all he has to do in his mind or even with his lips, it doesn't matter. He cries out, oh God, oh Jesus, save me, or whatever. And before he hits the ground, he could be into eternity, into heaven. And you say, well, I don't buy that. The guy wasn't baptized. And, oh, you know what? You've got a problem. You've got a real legalistic, unbiblical problem with that. Deathbed conversions are awesome. And I think that's where God reels in a lot of people in the last second. But if you're works-minded, you have a hard time with that. I love it. So we don't know always. Well, was he saved? Well, he wasn't saved, but he was in a coma for 2 days. Hey, we don't know. Praise the Lord, we don't know. God, I have a personal theory about comas. I think God sometimes allows people to be into comas to shut the whole world out so God can talk to them. I believe that. When a woman can grab Jesus by the hem of his garment and say that if I just can touch the hem of his garment, which was a pagan practice in those days, I'll just be made well. She reached out in her pagan faith and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus, his virtue, healed her. And you might say, well, they didn't come forward at the crusade rite. They didn't raise their, they laid their left hand and then their right hand, and then they came forward and then, oh, brother. Jesus says, you come unto me and I will nowise cast you out. Access. It's through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. We have to hurry here. Hebrews 10, 11 says, And every priest, that is a priest today, after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it says, every priest stands ministering even daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice. which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Isn't that great news? You can sit there and do your whole priestly thing, ministering daily and repeat it over and over again. And Jesus, the Bible, Paul says, Hebrews 10, it can never take away sins. Only Jesus can. True faith in Christ, true trust in Him is enough. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Isn't that neat? Thirdly, verse 12, confidence. We have confidence. He says right here that we have boldness and access with confidence. This is a great word, and I love this story I found today in this book. I had to use it for tonight. Confidence, the word is assurance of continuing on. Isn't that good news? Have you ever wondered, am I going to make it? You ever wonder, am I going to make it as a Christian? Man, all these pressures coming in my life. Am I going to make it? Listen, God has put within us the working of the Holy Spirit that for His purpose, to use the gospel, promote the gospel, shine the gospel through us. It's an amazing truth. Don't understand it. Second thing we need to look at tonight, verse 12. And this has got some beautiful, encouraging things for us. Verse 12 says, in whom, that is Jesus, we have, circle it, boldness and, circle it, access with, circle this, confidence through, and you can circle faith in Him. Four things that's essential that we understand. So the second point here in verse 12 is that the eternal purpose that God has for us is that He has provided for us. That's His purpose, to have provided for us all that is needed. God does not, I don't know what you're thinking right now about who you are or who you're with or whatever, but God does not tolerate you or your Christian friend. God does not tolerate you. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you know, there's Jim Bove. Sheesh. Oh, wait, right there's John Miller right next to him. Oh, man. There's Jeff McDonald. How am I ever going to get these guys? Oh, boy. He doesn't do that. God does not tolerate us. God has accepted us and is accepting us now. We so often go, oh, God, God, I promised you and I really let you down. You didn't let Him down. You think when He said, God, I'll never sin again. I love you so much, I'm never going to sin, God. You think God goes, oh man, wow, finally somebody's after my own heart. He's never going to sin. Michael, Gabriel, did you hear that? Why can't you be like him? He's a right-on guy. And then you blow it. Oh, God, I promised you. You think He goes, oh, no. You think He does. You feel like He does. You know, the moment you made that promise, you think God's up there, you know, biting on His nails. Oh, I hope He doesn't slip up. No way. He knows what's coming. Don't ever make God a promise. You can't fulfill it. The Scripture says, don't make a vow. You have no power to perform it. When you blow it, He doesn't panic and you disappoint Him. He knows. He knows that. He doesn't tolerate us. He's excited about us. Listen to this. Concerning boldness here in verse 12. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us courage. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us a courage. It's the kind of boldness we're talking about here. The word in the Greek means this, a free outspokenness, a fearless speech. The word means to have a cheerful assurance, a bluntness. Isn't that interesting? That's what that word means in the original language. Fearless speech. The kind of boldness that children have. You ever see a little child? Some of you, many of you work with little children in daycare and Christian schools and public schools. They're so cute, the little ones. The little ones are cute. And you say, wow, whose picture's that? It's mine. What is that? It's my, you know, my mommy. And they just have such authority. Isn't it pretty? Isn't she pretty? Isn't this nice? And they're just like, wow, they're so sure. This is the kind of boldness that it's talking about. They have absolute boldness. Whose car is that? Mine. They're just sure. And that's how God wants us to be concerning our relationship to Him, to have a boldness of free speech. I'll never forget this little guy, Matthew. I taught the five-year-olds at Calvary Costa Mesa for 3 years. It was a blast. And this little guy, Matthew, showed up every Sunday with a bow tie. First Sunday I had that kid, I said, what does your dad do? He's all decked out in super-duper clothes. What does your dad do anyway? This kid's like wearing a tuxedo to Sunday school. And I remember in the class, 35 kids, you're packed in there. And man, I had this shiner on my nose. I mean, I had this thing, it was like Mount Rushmore, just kind of, and it was hurting. And I'm standing there, and I go, okay, kids, open up your Bible. Excuse me. What is it? I want to ask you a question. Not now. Now, turn, open your Bibles. He's got his hand up there. What is it? What's that thing on your nose? I couldn't believe it. I said, just shut up, kid. You're bothering me. I said, you'll know soon enough. Just wide open. That's the boldness. That's the kind of boldness. We are to have that kind of boldness. Now, we're laughing and we're playing, and that's exactly, are you ready for this? That's exactly how God wants you to enter into His presence. Hi, God, I'm here. You're not supposed to tiptoe anymore. That's the awesome news about what Paul was writing. The Old Testament had a covenant and had a practice where the priest went in once a year trembling with fear. That was the Old Testament approach to God. And Jesus has come so that we can walk in and jump in His lap reverently to have that boldness. Isn't that amazing? You think I'm kidding? Jot this down. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. It's a boldness that abounds. That's bounding. Running in to the presence of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, what a verse. That's Hebrews 4:16.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 11 through 13. It's a study called God's Eternal Purposes, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter that emphasizes equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do wish to stop down for a moment here and remind you that tomorrow, you have a voice in the voting booth. But today, you have a voice for those you know. Even if you don't live in California, Real Radio's home state, you still can have influence on those you know who live in this part of the U.S. Remember, California is known for setting precedents. Visit realradioactive.org to learn more about Proposition 8, which, if passed, will preserve marriage. If Proposition 8 does not pass, and you are a believer in Jesus, your religious rights will begin to be eroded. Don't fall for the rhetoric that tries to convince you otherwise. RealRadioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.